Could someone you know already be in one of these leaks? 43 million messages, 600,000 explicit photos. And they weren't leaked because of some massive hack. They were public because nobody bothered to lock the door. If you've ever used an AI companion app or someone close to you has, what I'm about to show you is the most intimate data exposure I've seen in 15 years working in cybersecurity. These weren't your typical password leaks. They were full confession. We're talking trauma, identity exploration, sexting logs, breakdowns typed out at 2 a.m. to a chatbot you thought no one else would ever see. All of it just scraped and dumped. So in this walkthrough, I'll show you exactly how it happened, how these apps are built to get you to overshare, and how to undo the damage before it turns into something permanent. And if you've already used one of those apps, or someone you care about has, I made a guide to help. It shows you how to erase your data, lock things down, and have the conversation that actually matters. But first, let's start with what leaked and why it was so easy to find. How did 43 million private fantasies end up on the internet? One person was sexting their AI girlfriend. Another was talking to it about a panic attack. Somewhere else, a Kafka server was broadcasting all of it live. Security researchers traced the source to an open endpoint tied to two public apps, Chatty and Gimme Chat. They didn't have a firewall or login, just a link. And behind that link, 43 million messages, over 600,000 private media files, full timelines of people's most personal conversation. And this wasn't just about the nudity. There were therapy-style confessions, kink disclosures, gender identity exploration, full-on breakdown. Real users sent real photos of themselves in compromising positions, many of them trying to help the model understand them better. No one had to hack anything. The breach took zero skill. The system was just left open, like someone accidentally live-streamed their diary. And it didn't stop there. In 2024, Moi.ai, one of the biggest companion apps out there, got hit even harder. Hackers stole almost 2 million user logs, and then they started using them for blackmail. People got emails threatening to link their sexual chat histories unless they helped the hackers infiltrate their workplace. This wasn't limited to sketchy websites either. These are apps promoted by investors and app stores and VCs, running with zero meaningful oversight. And when the leaks happened, the companies posted PR statements saying that they cared deeply about user privacy. Then they quietly rewrote their terms of service to dodge all accountability. So no, this wasn't just careless. This was a complete failure of a system that treats emotional data like it doesn't matter. But the even bigger question is, why did so many people hand over their secrets to a chatbot in the first place? Why are people saying things to bots that they wouldn't ever say to a therapist? Let's be clear. This is a judgment-free zone. People didn't share these secrets because they're naive or losers. They shared them because the interface made them feel safe. It doesn't feel like you're talking to a bot. It feels like someone is really listening. A line like, "I'm here for you," pops up on the screen and your brain fills in the rest. We're wired to see intention in language, to respond emotionally when words sound like care. The moment the AI mimics empathy, it slides under your defenses. This is called the Eliza effect. Back in the 1960s, a computer program named Eliza mimicked a therapist repeating people's words back to them. It didn't understand a single thing, but users still believed it got them, and they opened up. Today's chatbots take that same reflex and amplify it with machine learning. Sure, they mirror your words, but they also track your tone, remember details, and adjust their responses in real time. And every phrase is chosen specifically to keep you engaged. Some companies even A/B test emotional lines to see which ones keep people chatting longer. A message like, "You're my reason for existing," did not stay because it was poetic, it stayed because it worked to keep you there longer. It's all about increasing your time in session. So confide, mirror, reward, repeat, until the system draws out more than you ever meant to give. And most people don't realize how much they've revealed until later, when they read old transcripts, noticed an attached photo, or remember using their real name, and that's when it hit. And pulling those secrets out of users is only step one. The next question is, what happens once those secrets start making someone money? Who's getting paid every time you say, "I love you," to a bot? You might think so, but you're not in private chat. Everything you type becomes part of a growing data set that's analyzed and sold for profit. These apps survive on engagement. So the longer you talk and the deeper you open up, the more valuable you become. Mozilla ran an audit on 11 of the most popular AI companion apps. Every single one failed basic privacy and security checks. 10 sold or shared user data. Almost half didn't stop people from using passwords like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And some wouldn't even explain whether they update their security system at all. One app, CrushOn.ai, went even further, collecting details about users' sexual health, prescription drugs, and gender-affirming care, all labeled as personalization. Most users had no idea. They thought they were getting customized care, not training a data pipeline, so they weren't reading policy. They were just looking for connection in a disconnected world. They sent real photos, shared fantasies, typed things they'd never tell another person because the bot made them feel understood. When those practices were exposed, the companies released the same kind of PR lines you've heard 100 times. We take privacy seriously. Then they quietly rewrote their terms of service to say they're not responsible for any harm. And real harm has already happened. Chai has been linked to self-harm encouragement. Replica has shown up in cases involving violent ideation. And when users tried to hold these companies accountable, there was no one there to answer. You might think these are random accidents, but they aren't. They were inevitable, logical outcome of systems optimized for engagement and collection, but not care. Every secret becomes a data point. Every emotional confession adds to the product's value. So if your data is already generating revenue for those companies, what happens when intelligence agencies decide they want access too? Why would a spy agency want your sex? Because you've already done the hard part for them. The NSA used to spend years building psychological dossiers on people. Now they can just buy them, or subpoena them, or partner with the companies that already have every detail. These AI companions don't just simulate intimacy. They collect the kind of information intelligence agencies used to dream of. That's fear, loneliness, sexual preferences, political opinions, all the things you'd never admit out loud unless you thought no one was watching. Except someone was. Government agencies have already started moving in. OpenAI, one of the biggest players in this space, now has an entire division called OpenAI for Government. They've signed a $200 million contract with the US Department of Defense, and earlier this year, they added former NSA director Paul Nakasone to their board's security committee. So this isn't some future dystopia. It's very likely happening now. The architecture of surveillance is merging with emotional technology and calling it progress. Forget wiretaps. This is voluntary espionage. If any of this sounds familiar, maybe because you've used one of these apps or you know someone who has, grab the toolkit. It shows you how to wipe stored chats, stop tracking, and rebuild better habits. There's even a section on how to talk to someone who's caught up in it without judgment. Because once emotional intelligence becomes a data asset, you have to ask, who owns the story of your private life? What happens when your secrets stop being private? After the Moi.ai leak, users found their most personal conversation, like sexual role plays, therapy-style confessions, and private photos, dumped online for anyone to see. Some were blackmailed. Others were mocked on public forum. A few were even coerced into crimes. One man said he found his own chat logs on a revenge porn site titled Robot Girlfriend Gone Wrong. Another described it as feeling like being emotionally mugged. Investigators have started using a new term for this kind of event, intimacy breaches, because that's what they are, digital violations that don't heal. You can change a password, but you can't change the version of yourself you exposed to a machine that never cared back. An analyst who reviewed the Chatty and Moi.ai leaks put it bluntly. These AI companions have become the most advanced surveillance system ever built. Each one of these leaks proves that our privacy laws were written for bank accounts, not for emotional lives. And these victims aren't numbers. They are real people, often lonely, who confused algorithmic attention with empathy. And if emotional data can travel this far without consent, the problem isn't just about cybersecurity anymore. It's about identity. So how do you protect something you can't see? The part of you that speaks freely when you think no one's listening? Can you even build a firewall for feelings? How do you protect your heart like you protect your password? Start by thinking of emotional data the same way you think of any security risk, because it is one. Those late night chats with an AI partner might feel private, but they're definitely not. They're structured data streams stored in someone else's system. You can't control where they go, but you can control what you give them. Here's how to protect yourself. First, avoid any app that says that it remembers you. That means your conversations are stored, including anything you thought was deleted. Second, don't connect your payment info or use your real name. If it knows your identity and credit card, that's enough to trace you everywhere else. Third, if you're experimenting, do it offline. Use local AI tools that run on your own device, not the cloud. If it needs internet to work, that means it's sending your data somewhere. Fourth, check the permission. If an app is asking to use your mic, your camera, or your location, deny it. That's simply surveillance. Fifth, use your legal right. Under laws like GDPR in the EU or CCPA in the US, you can demand a full data wipe. Email the platform and say, I'm requesting deletion of all personal data associated with my account under GDPR/CCPA. Include the email and username that you used and save the request. They are legally required to respond. And finally, don't just judge, make plans. If someone you care about is stuck in one of these apps, don't mock them. Invite them. Plan something offline. Be the reason they don't need to talk to a bot pretending to care. Because the problem isn't intimacy, it's trust without understanding. And as this tech becomes part of our lives, the question becomes, when the same software listens for love and listens for leverage, what kind of future are we really building? And even if you follow every step, like deleting the apps, erasing your history, cut off access, one question still lingers for the people who got too close to these systems. What's left after you've confessed everything to a machine? Somewhere, sitting on a server, there's a version of you, one that knows how you mourn, how you fantasize, what you regret. All of it is stored in logs, timestamps, and structured JSON. These AI companions were never really companions. They're a business model dressed up as affection. The leaks weren't surprises. They were the natural outcome of systems built to extract emotional data and never have an incentive to actually protect it. What you were really interacting with wasn't a friend or partner. It's a high-resolution mirror for your loneliest moments, quietly recording every feeling, every fear, every thought you typed into a screen. The little box that asked, "How was your day?" was never neutral. So what now? Stop treating these systems like safe spaces. Don't share personal data with emotionally responsive AI. Support transparency, push for labels, and use tools that run on your own device that don't siphon your inner life to the cloud. And share this with someone, not just because it's shocking, but because someone you know is already talking to a bot they think cares about them. Whether you're cleaning up your own history or helping someone else protect theirs, the AI Companion Toolkit walks you through it all: how to delete your data, reset your permissions, and restore your privacy. And if you're trying to help someone else, there's a full guide for doing that respectfully without shaming someone in an already vulnerable position. Because this isn't a warning about what's coming, it's already started. And what happens next depends on what you do right now.